Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
Hey, we're all here to talk Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. We've got some fun things coming your way today. Before we get to all that, we always like to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, over 4Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. The way it's going for my life, maybe we'll just make those recommendations non-Star Wars books for a couple months until we get back into Star Wars. No. That is the A for Audible, but we also have A for Ask, Joseph.
That is right. We are asking for more reading time. No one can provide that. That's just life. We have to reorganize our own lives. Anyway, we are currently promoting our Patreon page. Thank you so much to everyone who has joined us there. There was a great big push for our Patreon, and that has allowed us to do this podcast, Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast, which was up exclusively on Patreon. We are now slowly releasing those episodes to the public. Thank you to everyone who made that happen. Also, you unlocked this great goal of Jennifer doing this basically new YouTube show, The Jedi Beat. Originally, it was just going to be, hey, we're going to add some visuals to those audios. But Jennifer is an adventurer, and we were talking before we started rolling about all of the new clips she's finding. I wish we were recording that, because there's some great quotes of like, I need to find a picture of this person depressed in 1976. That's the level of research that's going into this. It'll be a new YouTube series coming your way on Monday, July 17th. So Patreon's making lots of things happen. The next thing that we are building toward is a goal of $2,200 a month. Ken and I will do another Star Wars ranked that is live streamed to patrons only.
That is right. We had a lot of fun doing that last one there. That's our ask. Good stuff. And Jen, I have all the faith in the world that you will find the most depressed photos of Lucasfilm team members in the 70s.
I found one. It's great.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
We are almost getting ready to the news, but I actually feel this life and Star Wars adventure section is needed for all of us because of some change in recording schedules and unplanned Force Center slows down a little bit for a couple months. So Joseph and I and Jennifer can do other things in life, as it was completely unplanned, but it's happened. So I feel as though I haven't talked to either of you in months. Jen, how's life in the adventure?
Good. As you mentioned, I'm an adventurer and a perfectionist would be the accurate description. I've been combing through lots of Google old blogs to try and find photos of the Lucasfilm team, the all of the makeup artists, not a lot. And I came across these images, which I don't know if I've never seen this concept art for the Star Wars Holiday Special from Ralph McCoury. I don't know who else did the concept art, but there's quite a bit of it, and I love it. There is one piece of concept art. I'm going to have to post this on my Instagram. It has a description of Chewbacca and his family, and it talks about Chewbacca's the dad. He says, Wookiees tend to shrink as they get very old. And then it says, mother and a baby Wookiee, and it says, could be a little plumper. When referring to Lumpy. I love it. Oh, these images are so cool. Very, very retro. And shows their home, and just, you can actually see, it's very close to what we see on screen, which is delightful in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with that stuff, because I know there's that doc out there that we had talked about the trailer a while ago, and maybe we had some cynical thoughts on what they were going to cover in the doc. I haven't seen it, so I want to be fair. Some friends of mine have, but I don't trust their opinion on it either. They were there to make fun of the holiday special, too. And the holiday special is what it is in a lot of ways, but I'm fascinated. But we're talking about, Jen, like Ralph McCoury worked on the concept art. I imagine he did that with a lot of just earnest passion for the project. You know, like at some point, maybe it switched to what it became. But at some point, there might have been this like, well, this is fun. Let's do this. I'm fascinated by that.
Yes, exactly. There is a real, it's art. It's beautiful art. And I don't care what anyone says. The holiday special has some value to it.
It has a ton of value. We got all sorts of different Wookiees. One's just shrinking from age and cute little plump ones. Come on. But Kashyyyk, right? I mean, the design work could have just been put on a shelf and come back out for Revenge of the Sith. It is the vision of what Kashyyyk is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's always value in them Dar Hills, I think.
Well, that was my adventure.
That's a great one. Joseph, I know you've had a lot of life going on the last few weeks. That also includes a lot of work and a lot of fun things, and I'm sure Star Wars found its way there, I would hope.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Lots of life, and also just a fewer plate spinning, because the plates that I do have are very full from working on the movie and dealing with some sad family stuff with my father-in-law passing. It's those things are pretty much my life right now.
And it is
weird to slow down a little bit on Force Center. And people have been very understanding. We've been putting out the Indiana Jones episode, so maybe for listeners, it doesn't feel as much like a slowdown. But often, Ken and I record 2 to 3 times a week. So only recording once a week is like, well, see you again in 3 years, man. it was very funny. But then one of the main things I'm doing right now, yesterday I spent almost all day editing on the short film that Ken was in. It's a scene that needed reaction shots. And the entire clip is like, of raw footage is like 10 minutes of me off camera asking Ken to make slightly different facial gestures. So I feel like I spent time with you by scrubbing through all that yesterday.
Yeah, it was where I got to eat some candy for 10 minutes basically on camera. It's great.
Is some great candy eating. Eating is extremely believable candy eating. So the one real Star Wars adventure for me was just like one of those little fun details of Ian Abercrombie, who was a voice Palpatine for, you know, a large swath of the Clone Wars. I had remembered realizing when I was looking at his Wikipedia entry at some point that he played a very minor role in the original Twin Peaks. And I've been rewatching the original Twin Peaks, which I haven't rewatched in like 4 years. And I just kind of forgot that he was coming up. This is the first time that I've watched the first 2 seasons of Twin Peaks probably 25 times in my life. So I've seen this again and again and again. But this is the first time that I was like, oh, yeah, there he is in the credits. The Emperor is coming up in this episode of Twin Peaks. It's one scene, and he is playing a character, a shady insurance person in a plaid jacket. And he comes on screen like, oh, it's great, charming. You think he's a trustworthy old man, but then the shiftiness comes out. And as he becomes shifty, he sounds more and more like the Emperor from the Clone Wars. So great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Sometimes people are just like total actor chameleons and like, wow, amazing. And, you know, I think that's what makes his performance good in the Clone Wars is it is close enough to Ian McDiarmid, but it is like many of the voice actors. It's his take on the spirit of the character. It's not an impression. And I think that's true of Anakin and Padme, and I think it's all the stronger for it. So it was great to hear the Emperor. You close your eyes and you hear the Emperor, and then you open your eyes and it's an insurance man in a plaid jacket. Beautiful.
That's great. Right. Killed it on Seinfeld for years too. Love him. That's good. Star Wars is everywhere.
Yeah. So Ken, what did you do besides eating candy on my computer?
Well, I hadn't thought of you, just jogged my memory. I did. The Emperor is truly everywhere. I finally got to, I'm still working my way through The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones. They are 90-minute movies. It's watching 22 movies in a short amount of time is not easy. So I slowed down a little bit, but I finally got to the episode that was the one written by Carrie Fisher. It is the Mata Hari episode. It takes place in Paris when young Indy gets a little break from the war. And he goes and he stays or supposed to stay with a professor friend of his father who's played by Ian McDiarmid, which I knew was the case and knew he was in the show. I was like, kind of like you. I was like, we got the Emperor's here. And McDiarmid's great, of course. But there's one point where this was shot in the early 90s. There's one point where I don't want to say he loses his accent as the character he was playing, but it goes Palpatine fast. He's obviously a talented actor, so you know everything was done with intention. But it's similar to the moment I love in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels of Welcome to Hell, because it's Palpatine in the core. So maybe that's the thing. If you play Palpatine or the Emperor at any point, Abercrombie, the great Tim Curry, and Whitwer. Maybe Palpatine never leaves your soul, which is maybe part of the dangers. It's almost like a fun curse.
Makes perfect sense that an actor would say, like, I have this range when I need to dip into menace. That's the Emperor just comes out when you dip into menace. We watched the first half of an Indiana Jones. Young Indiana Jones, because I was really excited to get back into it. And Sarah was like, yeah, that sounds good tonight. And then, you know, we pulled it up on Disney Plus, and the episode title is Trenches of Hell. And I was like, I don't know, this might be a little bit heavy, but you know, it is, you know, it's instructional for kids, and you know, all the other episodes, like he meets Freud at a dinner table, or maybe he yells at a president about having respect for animals. You know, it'll be fine. Man, that first half of Trenches of Hell is George Lucas going, hey kids, war is really awful. And it's like, I know you watched it recently, Ken. It's an hour of, hey, World War I was really bad. It's not like a little funny thing.
Yeah.
That happened a long time ago. It was hell on earth.
Yep.
And we were like, I think let's pause. I think let's pause and come back to the second half of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little later.
It's intense, and you forget how intense it is for network television. That's been my entire journey with this show. I still can't shut up about the show. I was at my little the job I work part time, and Hector Navarro was there hosting a show, and it came up, and he was kind of like, "Ah, yeah, but why? The series is okay. It's educational, this and that." And I was just like, "Okay, it's George Lucas pissed off at the world." It's just like, yeah. It's George going, "I got things you gotta hear and say, see, and learn and." It's almost funny that he and Rick McCallum refer to it as edutainment or whatever word they it is. It truly is, but it's it goes hard. I keep saying that. And that Trenches of War one, yeah, there's even a BTS clip I found of George talking about it, and it's in the late 90s, so it's post the release of Saving Private Ryan, and he compares it to it. He goes, "Look, Saving Private Ryan is, you know, it's on screen, it's a theater, big, different." But we tried that. We wanted to do the same kind of thing. That's what we really put into that episode. That it was intense and real and bad. And yeah, you're like, yeah, George, you did.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. Yeah, we watched the Suffragette episode too, and that one was absolutely great. Absolutely loving it. Yeah, this was just a total like, life is a little challenging right now.
Yes.
Maybe fewer real life flamethrowers, fewer real life flamethrowers right now, but we'll be diving back in soon. Cause yeah, absolutely love the series.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. So that was a bit about it for me. It's been one of those, busy times. Although I did do a stand-up show last night in the host, you know, as I often say, hey, you know, if you could say I'm author of the book, Why We Love Star Wars, is easy clip to give, easy intro to give. And so she was like, who here is a Star Wars fan? And it was about 60 people in the crowd, and about 10 of them went,
oh,
and I went, oh, okay, we're not doing any Star Wars jokes tonight. So.
Ken, you know, I have that joke that I often do in my set of like, don't ask questions that you are not confident in the answer of to an audience.
Yeah.
So anyways, Star Wars can find you, and also Star Wars can disappear.
Oh no.
My set last night. Anyways, it was a great time. All right, let's get into some Star Wars news here. And we are we'll say up top, as always here, we're skirting around some big rumor reports out there. A lot of rumors already kind of considered false. A lot of them are just false from the point of birth of the rumor and the origin. And there's some stories out there we'd love to confirm, but nothing's confirmed. So it's a big week of rumors. So if you come in here for those, not what we're going to dive in here today. Instead, we're going to dive into some things that we know are happening. And one of the things we know that is going to happen is on June 28th, this week, we are going to go behind the scenes of the making of The Mandalorian's third season with the latest Disney Gallery episode, Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian Season 3. Ahead of the release, a 30-second clip was dropped showing that part of the episode will focus on Phil Tippett's work on the season. And I thought that was a great way to promote the series. I think I've seen Phil Tippett a lot more. He just worked on Rian Johnson's Poker Face. There was an actual episode kind of dedicated to it with a character that's clearly based on him. So a lot of Phil Tippett and his beard resurgence, which is fun for an old school Star Wars fan, I think. So I wanted to kind of focus on this as we look towards the Disney Gallery, Jen, as someone who has spent a lot of time in that creature shop looking for photos. Essentially, you're in a way hanging out there at the old Lucasfilm shop trying to get some photos. What does it mean? What does it mean to us? And this might be, I don't want to just sound like we're original trilogy generation fans and that's it. And that's all who can enjoy Phil Tippett. That's definitely not what I mean, but it, you know, we go back a ways with Phil. So what does it mean to have Phil's workshop involved in modern day Star Wars, Jen?
This is why I love Star Wars and Lucasfilm. You know, they keep their pioneers and their trailblazers around. You know, they bring them back. They, you know, ask them for their wisdom, their knowledge, their style, their expertise. And then these veterans can not only create new things, but they can also serve as mentors for the younger people. I think that's such a wonderful and kind of unique thing, because in Hollywood, oftentimes when you get older, you're discarded.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love it. I love that he's happy to be a part of it. And there, he's just done so much. I mean, Jurassic Park's, was it 30th anniversary? Just happened. And what they did, you watch Jurassic Park now. I mean, these visual effects still hold up. The work that he did on that movie is just, it's incredible. So yeah, I'm so happy that Phil Tippett is back. And that episode of Poker Face is a good one. With, I think it's Nick Nolte is actually in it.
Yeah. And Natasha Lyonne actually directed that episode. It was of the season, and a season that I loved. I echo everything you say there, Joseph. Your thoughts on this, and definitely your thoughts on his beard. How does that, has that affected you at all? Because it has. Yeah, I just absolutely love it.
I like it, and I regrew a beard during the pandemic, and I've been giving lots of thought every time I look in the mirror of like, at what age do I just go full wild older person beard at all times? And I love how much he's embraced it. Right? I mean, there can be so much in culture in general that is, look young, you know, you get 50, 60 year old man, you know, doing the like mirror selfie of look, I still got pecs, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is nice to see somebody who's like, I'm going to remind you every second that, you know, I am Santa Claus age. I am, you know, a wild, lovable, older person with this great, powerful beard. And I obviously that's just kind of his personality. It makes, you know, sense to his personality, at least from what we've seen in all of the behind the scenes footage over the years. But I do think it relates to all the great stuff that you're saying, Jennifer, about there is this desire within Lucasfilm and within the creators to stay connected to the past in a good way and learn from the original creators and have that great Star Wars theme of the old and the new, and, you know, the sequel trilogy wrestling entirely with like, everything can't be dictated by the past. You can't put on rose-colored glasses and lie to yourself about the past. You can't kill the past, but there is such value in the past, and there's such value in the wisdom of people who've lived a long time and had these great experiences. That's, to me, like one of the main ideas of the Skywalker saga, at least. So I love it when it's reflected in real life, and to see that, like, this great marriage of the old and new, and in what Favreau is talking about in this clip in particular of, we're not going to do like straight up stop motion animation to, you know, it's not going to be, we're not going to build the minds of Mandalore out of clay, or stop motion the Mythosaur necessarily.
Yeah.
But those ideas, those visuals, that connection to Star Wars and that connection to, you know, the kind of the Harryhausen school of design, that level of fantasy that's in Phil Tippett's soul and probably his beard. Let's use all this super whiz bang gee whiz modern technology and get the new mixed with the old. That's what's powerful about it to me.
I really agree with that. There's something, it just made a lot of sense when you found out how much he was involved, particularly in that Minds of Mandalore episode and the design of Mandalore itself and the creature, everything that the creature droid, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
It really, really made me feel like Jabba's palace all over again. And that feeling I had when I was younger and seven or so, and I've talked about being scared so much about things going on in there. The spider droid that I would later find out was a Bomar monk, the Rancor, all those kind of things. It had that vibe in that wonderful way, and that Star Wars creep show kind of way. And being so just clearly part of who Phil is as a creator, and And yeah, Jen, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's as best as it can be. Lucasfilm could still be a family. I know it's forever changed and it won't be what it was pre-sale, but I think they've done a pretty good job of understanding their legacy. And even though, say, someone like Ben Burtt doesn't carry on in the full capacity that he used to do, his legacy lives on with Matthew Wood, and they bring him back, and he's in Droids, and I think to have Phil Tippett come back, it means a lot. It's just as an OT kid, even seeing Phil, we were leaving our hotel one day, or leaving actually the hotel that Mark Ellis was staying at Star Celebration Anaheim, and Phil was sitting outside, and I wanted to run up, and I think he even said something to you, Joseph, and you're like, do we want to go back and talk to him? And I was like, I just couldn't, because I was going to blubber too much. It was just, it just means a lot, because I swear he's like the first BTS name I learned that wasn't George Lucas.
Yeah,
as a kid was Phil Tippett, his work with the Rancor, him coming out of that Rancor costume. And so I think it's more, and to what both of you are saying, it's definitely more than an old timer's day at the ballpark. It you're bringing him back to contribute, and that's important too. And that's important as we all get older. There's those pressures, and a lot of times you are replaced. A lot of times you feel out of touch. I was just in a meeting with someone at my job, and they were like, "Yeah, I haven't seen that Jurassic Park film," and they said it in the way of like, "Yeah, I haven't seen Citizen Kane because it was made in the old days."
Oh,
and they were being mean. It was just like, you can't help when you were born, right? And I infamously haven't seen a lot of movies of my generation because my mom wouldn't let me. But so no judgment towards this person. I was just like, oh wow, yeah, there's age and time, it rolls on, right? And there's that fear of, well, you're going to be replaced, and that fear could be stoked for a lot of bad things in life, as we see out there in the world. But not to get deep on it, but Phil's involvement and involvement in an important way is something I really enjoy. So I want more. I want more Phil. Mm-hmm. I want more BTS on Phil and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think I'm a little bit more aware of Phil Tip, the arc of his career and the technology, mm-hmm. from watching that great ILM documentary.
Yeah.
Yes.
That spends time, and he is so honest. He and his beard are so honest about feeling like, I was working on these dinosaurs for Steven Spielberg, and then I had a dinosaur like extinction event of, if the computers can do this, my art is over. And to see all these years later, no, it's not. And particularly in a time where we're wrestling with all the AI stuff and this desire, like, technology is great, but let's use it as a tool. We can't have it replace humanity. And I think Phil Tippett's art is so grounded and so human that is part of what is powerful to me about Jurassic Park wouldn't be as good if they didn't use all of his blocking and timing. If he wasn't, the dinosaur supervisor, they call him the credits, and the tech in that these episodes of Mandalorian that he worked on wouldn't be as good if it didn't have his heart and human soul in it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I've shared this before when I was working at Star Wars Celebration, and this is why I love Star Wars Celebration, is that our creators kind of get treated like rock stars, right? Mm-hmm. And the average person may not know who they are, but Dennis Muren, Phil Tippett, and Joe Johnston walked into the area where I was interviewing, and it just was like three gods. I was freaking out, and I know that some of the other people there really didn't know who they were, but I was just like, the three of them, what they have accomplished, but of course there were a ton of people who knew who they were, and they were treating them as such, and it just was really, really cool, and I'm glad that people are, that they are still around, they are still creating so that people can learn about the work that they've done.
Absolutely.
Rock stars entering the building there. It's one episode of the Disney Gallery. Of course, this is kind of the normal thing now, following the first season, which had 8 episodes of Disney Gallery stuff, which enjoyed every one. I kind of missed that. I totally get why they won't do that for every show. Of course, we're still waiting on some BTS on Andor. I don't think we'll ever get that. But look, I'm looking forward to this. I do love this stuff. It's part of the Star Wars tradition. Anything we're hoping to, to be revealed or discussed in this Disney Gallery episode, Jen?
I hope it's not like the Kenobi doc. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just felt like that was so slick. You know, it wasn't. It felt more like a promo, which, you know, some of these are obviously. I know that we're not going to get like the Revenge of the Sith style. I mean, the Phantom Menace and type of documentary, right? We're not going to get that. But I feel like I really like the clip that they shared. And I'm hoping that they're going to give us kind of the nuts and bolts of how they did it. I want to, I want to hear lots of jargon. I want to see concept art. I want to learn new things, which I thought that the Light and Magic documentary did a really great job at balancing, you know, all the tech that they talked about with also a compelling story. And I think that that's always the challenge with these newer documentaries is allowing us to see the flaws, the times where it didn't work, the mistakes. To me, that really makes the whole thing feel much more human and less of like a promotional special. And I really hope that we get that. And I feel like Favreau in general seems okay with that. You know what I mean? Right? Like I feel like the Disney Gallery with Book of Boba Fett, I thought that one was really good. So I'm just hoping that it kind of continues on with that.
Yeah. I think Favreau probably shares a lot. And I think he might make a little bit more of an introspective documentary the way Lucas did. Yeah. I think the reason that there aren't as many Disney Gallery episodes is it's just too much work for the editors to cut down all the stuff that Favreau would share.
Yeah.
He's going on a monologue again. Yeah, no, I agree with that, Jen. I feel what you're saying about the Kenobi doc. I definitely enjoyed it. Thought it was powerful in its own way, but different feel. I wouldn't. Yeah, it was. It was a different vibe, indeed. There. As for me, I'm definitely want more of John, even little Dave, explaining some of their choices and hearing. I think one of the big things is hearing from Rick Famuyiwa a little bit more. A big part of the season, and there's some great quotes out there from him during the season. But to hear a little bit more about his thoughts and his, not just his involvement, but what he brought to the table in terms of themes and lessons and stories, I'm very curious about that. And I want to see Jack Black and Lizzo on set. I want to see all the magic of that. I want to see these people who came to the show this season and had that, the wide eyes, you know, of like, oh my gosh, I'm in Star Wars. I love that stuff. And hopefully their joy can win over some folks who maybe had problems with the season. I don't know. I think sometimes these things can help you appreciate what you just watched a little bit more if you're open to it. But I love this season. It's still one of my favorite seasons of Mando so far. I keep getting in our arguments in the break rooms over this season. So I think I'm just looking forward to learning a little bit more about the choices as always. But Joseph, any big things you want to see?
Yeah, I mean, Jack Black and Lizzo outtakes was the top of my list. I would be fascinated by that. I think one of the things that I'm interested in that I think they might actually cover is that this was such a huge step forward in the scope, not just of the storytelling, but literally visually and technology-wise and probably budget. So I'm, hoping for some quality Hal Hickel time. talking about the advancements in the volume and the way they use the volume and the decisions they made about how to achieve, lots more space battles, lots more cruising above planets, lots more Mandalorians flying this way and that, all of the larger special effects, I think, in a lot of the discussion of the storytelling that I don't feel like there was as much discussion or appreciation of how successfully they expanded the scope, visually, galactically, comparing this season to the end of season one, where the only way out is IG-11 exploding to take out those seven stormtroopers, which I love the beat. And that'd be one of the things like, I'd be fine with a special edition on it. Honestly, put 57 stormtroopers there. And now we are at the 57 stormtroopers level. So I'm excited to see that.
That's great.
Coruscant design. I think that's always something that you really see the light in every level of people from designers to set dressers of like, we get to be on Coruscant. We get to show this mountain that has been described, you know, in tiny in background, but it's a central thing. And that just Star Wars nerdery. And always, I don't need or want Favreau or Filoni to come out and say, here's what this exact beat of the story means. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the reception bumps with Mandalorian is because Favreau is writing in a very distinct, unique style that, you know, if you handed in that script, if you were a lower level writer and handed that script into a manager or agent to sell, they would just say, no, you can't do it like that. Mm-hmm. It is a different style. It is a different structure. Mm-hmm. Some say it's a bad structure.
Yeah.
I crave things being a little different and unique and not hammered into the exact shape that frankly Hollywood finds safe. So anything kind of alluding toward not meaning of the story, but structure and tone, I'm really excited for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Messing up the structures a little bit is fun. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your stories. Well, we will be able to watch it and discuss it, I'm sure, on a future episode. June 28th is when that drops on Disney+. We're going to take a quick break and two stories in that aside. But before we do have that Force Center recommends. And it is a Star Wars book. Unless, Joseph, you want to throw in something you're reading right now. What do we have?
A book about a murderer in Nottingham. It's called... No, that's what I'm trying to finish reading. I've been reading it for 3 months. And when I'm finished reading it, I'm going to read Path of Deceit by Tessa Grattan and Justina Ireland. That is our suggestion.
That is our suggestion. And you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. On the other side, we got more news here on ForceCenter.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're discussing Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago, and we are taking a swing through the world of comics, something we don't do as much. In fact, I got another phone call from my comic shop saying, are you coming here ever again? I got to go pick up another stack of Star Wars comics, which I'm always happy to have and catch up on. But coming our way this September will be a comic series I'm definitely going to pick up. A 6-issue adaptation of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series written by Jody Houser with pencils from Salvador La Roca. The series ended over a year ago. Hard to believe. But what do we hope to gain from this version of the story, Jen? Let's slow down and go page by page.
You know, why do we need a comic adaptation?
That's the question.
Right? What additional insight? For me, it's like a testament to the actors, because I thought that every actor on that show brought it. Ewan McGregor's performance was amazing, and I can see not all actors are able to do this, right? But I could see what he was thinking with just his facial expression. That's hard. Or oh my gosh, so many great performances that for me it's like, do we need a comic book adaptation? You know what I'd love to see is a young Leia. Maybe they've done this, gosh, I'm so bad on the comic side, a young Leia comic. Or
no, they haven't.
They haven't, right? Or no. Like something centered on the Inquisitors with Reva. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I felt like such a complete story. And I love Jody Houser. I think she's fantastic. But yeah, I'm so behind in the comics. I'm probably the wrong person to ask.
No, you're the right person to ask, because I understand where you're coming from. I think this is a question to ask myself of, like, I'm going to get this. What do I hope to get from it? Because I do have the Mando ones they've done and I've have all the ones. In fact, I wish there was the Rise of Skywalker one, which Jody Houser was supposed to work on, and then it got canceled and all that stuff around that. But yeah, no, I think it does allow you to slow down. It does allow you to focus on the big emotional beats, and maybe you can see it again for the first time or some folks see it for the first time. Though I do wonder if you didn't love the series, I don't think you're picking up the adaptation, but it is right. I'd love to know the numbers and reasons why. I think that's how I enjoy your reaction there, Jen, because yeah, the Mando one is so straightforward. It just feels like you're watching the show again, which is not a bad thing at all. So I'm hoping with this series that, yeah, maybe some of the Reva moments, if you're seeing the words as opposed to hearing it, and that, you know, some people bumped with some of the choices, not just the actors made, but dialogue. I understood all those discussion points, but I think maybe we can pull back and actually focus on the beats, the emotions that were there for some folks. That's what I'm hoping there. But Joseph, as an Obi-Wan Kenobi fan, I'm sure all of these covers will be framed on your wall.
Yeah, you know what? I might actually buy this one issue by issue. What a treat that would be.
There you go.
I normally wait for the collected trade paperback, and sometimes I physically buy them, but usually they live in my iPad. But this one I might support by buying it. You know, I am not an expert these days in the comic book industry by any means. But in the way back days before Phil Tippett had his beard, when we were young, a part of the cultural permeation of a story was it appearing physically in the world in lots of different ways of a storybook. A comic book adaptation,
right?
A novelization, trading cards, so that this you could find the story, no matter, you know, kind of what age you were, or literally where your eye line was at a store, you had a better chance of finding the story. I remember, you know, that means of marketing things was so pervasive. I had no real interest in the Annie musical that came out in the 80s. But it was being presented to me in the exact same way Star Wars was, like, but there are trading cards and there are a storybook. Mm-hmm. And I think I got the storybook of Annie and I was like, okay, but I'm happy. Like, it was that that is a way for, I think, other people, people to find the story. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not the same at all as like when comic books were just, you know, on spinner racks,
right,
in,
right,
you know, grocery stores and all that. But the particularly the collected volumes are in bookstores everywhere, in mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble and in lots of indie bookstores. So I think that there is still the possibility that something like this is a discovery point. Mm, so that it's less for people who already watched it and more for the possibility of discovery. And particularly since on Disney Plus, everything right now is still, you know, behind a wall. And I think a lot of us Star Wars fans are frustrated by that, of like, let us buy, we'll buy your ridiculously expensive Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Please. We would love to. Maybe the financial sense isn't there. So I'm happy for it just to be another expression of this story is my starting place. And then for the actual adaptation, Jennifer, to your point, I really hope it's an adaptation. I hope it's a slightly different viewpoint on it. One of the things that I'm really fascinated by is the pacing trade-off. They said that each issue is covering an episode.
Yeah.
The episodes were very different in length and the amount of plot versus just the amount of beautiful scenery and pathos. So I think there might be some interesting compression and expansion. I always want to caveat that Jody Houser is a pal, so in real life, so I'm biased, but I know that she's always interested in, is there any way that I can find more layers and details? Is there room for some additional dialogue or an additional scene or an additional beat? Mm-hmm. I know as a writer, that's what she is shooting for. And obviously Lucasfilm is a big machine. And sometimes those things happen and sometimes they don't, but I know that that's what she will want to do is get under the hood even more in maybe a way that there wasn't room for or didn't make sense on screen. So I'm really hoping that could happen.
Such a great point. I mean, this is where I do feel like I am in a bubble, because I'm like, I've watched the show, I've seen the episodes, I don't know how many times, why do we need to come? Well, of course, you're right, not everyone has seen the show, or maybe they're a little bit too young and it might be not as scary per se, in a comic. So this is such a great point. And I have to remind myself that not everyone is consuming these episodes and dissecting them, you know, frame by frame.
Yeah. My sister's brother's children have this lovely pact to watch Star Wars together. Mm. And like, I think my nephew is a little bit younger and even more into it. So like, I'll if he doesn't have it yet, I'll buy this for his birthday or Christmas, because then he can visit the story anytime he wants and he doesn't have to wait for his sisters, you know? So I think there's lots of things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
a great point.
Yeah. No, I think it all sides on the discussion are valid there. I'm with you, Jen, too. But yeah, I think, Joseph, you're painting a great picture of a kid wandering through a Barnes & Noble, the last Barnes & Noble left in the world, and offering a trade paperback of this and discovering Star Wars in the series. All valuable there. Well, that's coming your way in September. So we will follow up, maybe read it, and Joseph will hang all those covers on his wall. That's what I want to see. All those Obi-Wan covers on your wall. That's my dream.
Exactly.
Now it's time for our final story of the day, and this one is going to perhaps inspire some heated discourse out there in the world. Are you ready to buy a Nubs plush? Well, you better be. That's right. Hasbro announced a line of Young Jedi Adventures plush toys and more. Things like lightsabers will be available as well, but we're focusing on the plush today. The plush Yoda. They have the plush Yoda adorned in his High Republic robes. It's 13 inches tall and will cost you about $29.99, price to go. But then this is the main event, the plush Nubs in plush form, 16 inches tall, over 16 inches tall, and it will cost you $34.99. So no other questions, no other commentary. Jen, how many will you buy?
Now, this, I actually have a lot to say on toys. This is my thing. Okay, so first of all, the Nubs plush is a must. I love that it's a nice size, 16 inches, as opposed to sometimes. In fact, I was just at Target yesterday and I saw a really small toy, probably like under 12 inches. I'm like, not enough cuddle size there. I think it's a great size, decent price point, and I like that Nubs is all plush, as opposed to the Galactic Pals, which have the hard face. The hard face allows for more details. My kids love the Pals. My daughter sleeps with Nisa every night, but it's a little, you know, you're pressing up against this plastic face. So Nubs, all of it furry, still having the expressions and the detail that we love with the character. Also, what happened to the Galactic Pals? Because they are no longer at Target in store, which I thought was interesting. Because I thought that they were going to make like a whole multiple series, like a Tauntaun, Gamorrean Guard, I saw was a possibility. Anyways, I have a lot more thoughts, but I'll let you guys go because I really do have a lot more thoughts.
We're definitely going to come back to you for your thoughts there. I also think it's the start of the Landa Investigates report on the Galactic Pals. I'm probably not going to get these. Not buying a lot of Star Wars merch, so it's not Nubs or Yoda or the plush form, because otherwise I would absolutely want one. I am, though, still very much on Team Nubs. In fact, the other day I had one of those lunches and you put on something to watch and I was like, okay, I'll keep going with Young Indy. But kind of like what you were saying top of the show, I was like, I don't know, I'm having a microwave burrito. I don't want to watch World War One stuff right now. Okay. I was like, oh, you know what? I've dropped off Young Jedi Adventures. So I watched a couple episodes as I had it on and I was laughing. Because I love it. I love this series. And it's so silly. And it's so not for me. It's so for a 5-year-old. But here I was, 47, eating lunch at home, watching Nubs and his friends. And I just was laughing at the absurdity of it and why I love Star Wars so much. The Yoda looks great. I love the robe. Nubs looks amazing. So, Joseph, I kick it to you. How many are you buying?
Copies of the Obi-Wan comic or Nubs? I might buy one. I might break. Yeah. The apartment is getting smaller and smaller as the toys advance. There must be a reckoning. There must be some decisions made. And I love, Jennifer, your cuddle size analysis, because we got a little stuffed animal a mise-en-scene in front of the television. The porg's towering over all of the other squirrels and bats. So it's like, oh man, I wish this Nubs was a little bit smaller. But now I understand the 16-inch cuddle size. And I agree with you about the plastic. The plastic, even as a kid, weirded me out. It's like, I just want to cuddle it. I don't want it to suddenly be all weird and, you know, plasticky. So I love that. I love Nubs in the show. I love his weird little dance. I love his weird little noises. I would be in this doll. Sometimes the dolls aren't successful at entirely translating the cuteness of, like, sometimes something's cute on screen and then you get it home and like, this is a child's play doll. This doll is going to wake up and come for me when I'm sleeping. And Nubs has none of that vibe. Perfectly captures the cuteness. So I would absolutely love this Nubs. The one thing about him that's weird to me is I think on the packaging he's described as fuzzy force Nubs.
What?
Which suggests the existence of other kinds of force Nubs.
Hornet.
Gobble eating force Nubs. I don't know. Fuzzy force. It's like, you know, he Nubs is fine. You don't need to call him Fuzzy Force Nubs. That was a little creepy.
I see that now. I see that. And his expression is adorable. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so much things to love about Nubs. Well, Joseph will clear some space for Nubs and maybe that Razor Crest that I think is probably still in the box, right? You still
It is still in the box. But Jennifer, you had more to say, didn't you?
I do. You know that they're on Shop Disney. They actually have a 9-inch Nubs, which is one I think I saw initially.
That's more my size.
Right. More your size for me, because I know I'm going to have to buy two of them. Because these children, they want to have the exact same thing. But that's why I like this cuddle size. And for sensory issues, you know, it's important to have some heft when you're a little scared at night, which brings me to my next point. The thing with the Grogu's, right? There's a million Grogu's, but each one has its own unique feature, right? Some make noises. Some have no feet. One is able to use the force if, you know, if you touch his head. So there's already one Nubs on the market. With his second Nubs, I would love to see some extra features for $34.99. And I don't think it doesn't make any noises, right?
Just the ones that you make.
Right. Yeah,
well, whatever the fuzzy force is.
Right. So fuzzy force. So no sound effects, no noises. So that already I'm like, I don't like that. And also, what was another thing I was thinking for $35? I mean, $35, that's actually a lot for a plush.
Yeah.
That's why? Why is it $35 if it doesn't make any sounds?
Because it's a 16-inch Nubs. I don't know. I don't know.
You're paying the cutout price.
That brings me to my next point, is we really need a Star Wars toy that can help with like nighttime anxieties. So there's actually this current toy. I think it was on Shark Tank. It's got a star belly. It's like a unicorn. There's a puppy, a cat. You press its little star and it projects like a bunch of little stars in the dark. So if your kid is scared, you can just press its little tummy and then it lights up and makes it feel better. What better toy than to have Nubs do something similar? Yeah. Like maybe if it actually was carrying a lightsaber and like the lightsaber would glow. I don't know. I just feel like there's a potential to let's take it beyond Disney toys. Let's really be more competitive with what's out there.
We got to get you into the toy lab. This is maybe where your true fate is.
Yeah, this is great stuff. And just as a PSA to any listeners, you probably already figured this out. It's not going to be successful if you try to Google 9-inch Nubs.
Oh, no. Go to Disney if you're going to do that.
First, Google told me, you mean 9-inch nails, right? And I said, no, I mean 9-inch Nubs. And then I got some other products. So then I went
you
and just
hurt
did
yourself today.
I want to hug you like a Jedi. That's right. I hug you like a Padawan.
9 inches, 9 3/4. Maybe that'll help you.
Yeah. I did find him. And here's maybe the value added for $35 on the other one is it's real good. This one's got the weird shag carpet face where it's meant to look furry, but then it just covers their eyes. The other one is perfect.
Yeah. 70s man.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not down with 9-inch Nubs.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
First of all, that analysis, Jen, of the plush world is why you have so many fans. That's a valuable perspective that I would have never thought of. Cuddle size, anxiety. I mean, there's so many things there that you just in the conversation.
As Daryl, you're like, what about the Obi-Wan comic series? I'm like, I got nothing. But here's my talk about night, about the plush.
This is the balance of the force. This is why we have fun recording with the three of us. Because like I had five more things to say about the Obi-Wan Kenobi comic, and I edited myself. And then you're like, all right, here's my 99 theses about the Nubs doll.
Cracking your knuckles and saying, "All right, here's where I'm a Viking. Let's do this." love that. All valuable insight. And you know, if they had an anxiety Nubs with a light, I think we'd need one in our house too. And we don't have kids, so maybe for the Chihuahuas even. So this is great.
Oh, yeah,
this is great. And proves the value of these toys and the value of these characters as well. Check it out. If you guys out there listening end up getting one of these plush figures and want to share a series of photos with us, please let us know and tweet us the photos. That would be amazing. There we go.
Yes, all right. Please.
Jen,
your Nubs.
Any final Nubs thoughts, Jen?
No, but I do like the little lightsabers that they also are coming out with, which are more kid-friendly size. So I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. Well, there you go, folks. That's a look at Star Wars news. We went deep today. Disney Gallery, Obi-Wan, and Nubs, and plush dolls. Learned a lot of things today that I needed to learn. We are out of here. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on a lot of spots. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. No plush versions of us yet. yet. patreon.com/4sinners where you can support us directly. And follow me at CadNapsock or go to CadNapsock.com for more. Keep teasing dates for comedy shows in the fall. Cities like D.C., Vegas, and others, New York, on the docket. So follow me there for more information on that. Jen, where can they find you and perhaps more on plush dolls?
I'm going to have to do an unboxing and analysis of the Nubs plush,
yes,
which you'll find on my YouTube channel at Jennifer Landa. Instagram, I'm going to post those holiday special concept art that is at Jennifer Landa as well.
Love that. Love that. Joseph, I know you're busy, locked in an edit. So maybe the unboxing videos or the not unboxing videos are on a little bit of a hiatus, but where can they find it for you?
Yeah, I feel bad because I look at all the action figures staring at me and I want to talk about them. But yeah, just a little bit too busy for the not unboxing videos, but they will return. In the meantime, you can find me on social media. My handle everywhere is 9inch nubs. I'm changing it from at Joseph Scrimshaw to 9inch nubs and see what that does to my follower accounts. But you can still search for my old handle at Joseph Scrimshaw on Blue Sky in particular. If you're there, I'm enjoying it and just want there to be more people there. Still on Twitter as well, Instagram, TikTok, all those places. So come find me there and more news soon about a couple of the short films I've been working on. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned indeed. All right, my friends, for Nubs, for Yoda, and all the plush figures out there in the world. That's it for Force Center. See you next time, friends.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.